We're rolling.
Silence.
Yes.
Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio. Also iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, soon to be iHeartRadio. I'm trying to figure that out. And all sorts of other places. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm
Yay! Dark.
Wait your turn. I'm Sorry. Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And next to me, see, you have been co-host so many times that you don't know where to wait for the cue.
Well, I was just giving you the applause that you so deservedly
I don't deserve any. But Sorry. You know who does deserve it? It's the one who gets all the fan mail, which is everybody's
fan
favorite.
Yay!
Everybody's favorite heavy metal DJ. Vegan heavy metal DJ, mm-hmm. Hannah Bond.
Vegan.
Yeah, right and on. Shout out to Los Angeles for banning fur this week.
Did they?
Yes, they did.
Okay. I had no idea.
But we're
of course, it's 100 degrees who's wearing fur. But anyway, we've got a great show. You can tell the vibe's already good in this room, right?
Oh, Hannah? Yeah. We've all become really good friends so far.
Yes. You're the one who just can't stop talking.
Shut up, Kat.
No. She was here. First time she was on the show, she got set on fire. Then, you were there when we had a contortionist and a one-armed man, and things happened. Yeah, things happened there.
Oh.
She's been last time she was on with
the
Nessa
dude.
Corvus.
Yeah.
Yes. And who taught you about submissive lifestyles and how to really do that. Everybody's favorite submissive ballet dancer, Catface, Kat Bliska, of Polish.
What?
Everybody's favorite Polish.
Yes, of course.
Submissive ballerina.
Yeah, because J. Katz was not my pseudonym, and now I have officially come out. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being, because last time you were a little reserved. Now you're shot out of a cannon.
Right?
You were just like, listen to the guy like, oh, here's how I spank and choke, and you're like, just in awe. Now you're like, you don't care.
I don't give two shits.
Well, I thought of you because.
Why?
Well, about 20 people said no, but I thought of you. I'm kidding.
Go ahead, reach over.
No. I thought of you because I know you ride a motorcycle.
Not right now.
I know you have ridden a motorcycle. You pose with motorcycles. Yeah. And we got a guy who looks like a badass motorcycle guy, but he's really the nicest guy in comedy. That's Liam B.
Thank you.
Yay.
How you doing?
Right
Liam Brunley.
On.
Brunley.
Do you want to go by, do you go by Liam B.
My,
or Brunley?
My
or
agent said, I need to start using my last name because I'm doing a bunch of movies now. So.
Liam Brunley. We'll talk about your movies. And you brought your lovely wife with you.
She brought me.
She did? She did?
And good answer.
And good for good, Christy, good of you to sit on the show.
Say hi, honey.
Hello, everybody. I am his shot caller.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, and you guys have been together for 12 years, and you're still in love?
We're still in love. We have 8 kids.
What?
Yeah.
Between just the two of you?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is, out of
I'm trying to do the math.
Out of all those years, just the other day was the only time I've ever wanted to punch her in the face. She was holding one of my nephews, and she looked at me and she says, "I want another one." And
wow!
It was the only time I wanted to be violent against her,
but you didn't because you're a nice guy.
Well. You know,
well, you're a human being.
She thinks it's foreplay. So.
Yes, you're a human being. By the way, that's 8 kids. That's Irish.
That's Irish Catholic. Yeah.
Irish octoplets. Is that what that is?
Yeah, we're gonna get a TV eventually.
Yeah. So, how many people called you Octomom yet?
I have been called that. I think maybe just 3 times.
Yes, I would. Yeah.
On the freeway, she's called a whole
I was gonna
bunch
say.
Of them.
Anyway, we're gonna get into that before we get going though. Gotta get our sponsors real quick. We were there last week. Doomy's Home Cooking.
Was that last week?
Nice.
Yeah, that was last
week. Oh, wow. Where have I been?
1 week ago today, because we were there with our friend, the satanic rapper, Knife Sotelo.
Right.
And he's a guest I have. And, you know, he's so satanic that he let me pay for the meal. So, but let me tell you something. I was happy to do so because I had the pulled pork sandwich, vegan, delicious.
How does that work?
I don't know how it works, but he's a genius. This man is a genius. Phil Doomy is a genius. You had the bacon cheese fries, vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of burger? You had some.
I had the mock
The Big Mac.
Big Mac or something.
The Big Mac.
It's a vegan Big Mac. The nachos were voted one of the 10 best nachos in Los Angeles.
No
all vegan.
Fucking way.
Everything. They got Philly cheesesteaks. They have fried chicken. All
what
vegan.
I'm sorry. What is this place?
Wow.
Like?
Doomies Home Cooking. D-O-O-M-I-E-S.
Like
yeah.
Like Doomy.
No, no,
all
no.
One
like
word.
Doom. Like Doom. Like the harbinger of doom.
Either way, you get pleasure from it.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah. No, I mean, right? It's all the same at the end of the day.
Well, I know about your sex life, so that's true. But
yeah.
Doomy's Home Cooking, I'm going to get the address for you right
now.
Thank you. Which I probably should have had prepared.
And definitely check out the next Mexican place.
That's
right.
Tell them about that
door.
While I'm looking at
the chili rellenos, the burritos, the nachos are over there.
The flautas. And you can get stuff from the Mexican place. Have your friends have stuff at the regular place. You can take it over. You can take food from one place to the other. The flautas, vegan flautas, biggest flautas I've ever seen in my life.
Check if out you're, pinatas.
If you're in Las Vegas, if you're in Las Angeles, 12. If you're in Las Vegas, you're shit out of luck. If you're in Los Angeles, 1253 Vine Street, number 9, Los Angeles, California, 90038. Right on the corner of Fountain Vine, right by where the M Bar used to be.
Oh my God, I'm actually drooling from you guys talking
about
all
this.
Really?
We're effective sponsors. Soon to be open in Culver City. If you're in Toronto, go to Doomy's Home Cooking. I don't have the address there because the zip codes are weird in Canada.
Google it.
Googled.
Yes, and also, that's great. This is a spot for Google too. That's all they need.
Hey.
Audible. I love audiobooks. Now you're on the road a lot.
Yes.
You're on the road, you know, when your car's in shape. Go get an audiobook.
Oh my God, that's so fucking brilliant.
No, no,
I'm a bookaholic. I read all the time and then
you
I get wiped
to the
out.
Books all the time.
No,
right?
No, no, I read no, no, no. I am a
good
bookaholic, but then I read so much, I get wore out. And I have to do the Audible books because
yes.
I want to keep going.
That's smart.
Yeah.
But they've got Stephen King books. They've got everything.
Like 10,000 books.
A lot of smutty books.
Oh. You would know.
I know. Trust me. I've listened to them all. And they've got whatever, bestsellers. Tiffany Haddish's autobiography is there. David Spade's autobiography. They've got comedy albums. They have shows.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart has a show on there now.
Yeah.
Bob Newhart.
A new one?
Yes.
He's dead.
No, no. He's alive. He's in his 90s.
Bob
Newhart is alive,
yeah,
and he interviews.
Kind of.
Well, it's called Hi Bob.
Oh, well, he's
he interviews.
Very.
He, oh, he's the best. I love Bob Newhart.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Hi Bob. He interviews Will Ferrell, Sarah Silverman, Judd Apatow, and other new comedians. That's a new show on Audible. Get that free or any book or comedy album or stage play you want. If you go to audibletrial.com/DMS for the Dark Mark Show, audibletrial.com/DMS. Free book, free 30-day trial.
One of my cousins is an executive there.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, Erin Davis. She's brilliant.
Wonderful. Tell him the good job I did plugging it. Because
I will. It's a girl, but yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay.
E-R-I-N?
Yeah.
Because I thought you said Aaron.
I did.
Okay.
Aaron. And Aaron are the same.
Well, it's about time to start the conversation. Enough of the sponsors.
It took a long time. I think about like, quarter of the
Liam,
show.
Liam, bro, I've known you for quite a few years. I haven't seen you since I've been back to L.A.
Yeah.
But we've done shows together.
I love it.
Yeah, and now, the reason I had Liam come on, and he was a first choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Mark's choice.
Okay.
We've got some good guests coming on in the next few weeks, by the way.
Very cool.
We've got a lot of muscles next week. We've got a dating coach in a couple weeks, but we've got Liam here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You were complaining, Hannah, about the bikers on the show Mayans.
Oh, God, they're awful. Thank you.
Cancel it.
Do
it
now.
If Liam was on Mayans, you would not be complaining, would you?
No, we would be watching religiously. Oh, but you see?
Now, what were you just pointing to there? Because we're on audio, Liam.
I was pointing to a diamond with a 1% inside, meaning
right.
I'm the real deal.
Yeah. I see Nomad. Is that something there?
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow.
Is that something we can
it's
talk
real.
About on air or no?
Is it
no.
Real?
No.
That's awesome.
But if you saw this guy on the show, you'd be like, okay, that's the real deal.
Well, yeah, because you don't look, you look like the part. You wouldn't look like you know, you got
a douchebag who fucking grew his hair out.
I got some extensions. Went into wardrobe for a good couple hours.
What was that?
Just last night, I was saying how they all walk like they're hard. And they're not hard.
Yes, they.
It's so not.
So sad. Yeah. And they're
what,
all
their penises.
But you guys like. But wait a second. You guys like Sons of Anarchy.
Because there's hot guys in there. And
yeah, no, I'm sorry, but what's
different.
Not?
Yeah,
hard.
But they don't look like bikers either. Jax. Yeah, no,
that's what we're
talking
about.
We're talking about Tig. We like Tig. We like
Tig.
The Scottish guy.
Tig. Hi. They're
Tig. How many bikers are named Tig? Let's be honest.
I've never met
Tigger.
A Tig
or Jax.
Never met a Jax, but I have a nephew that's Jax, so that's all
Jack,
right.
Yes. Jax? No.
No, Jax is our nephew.
He's
okay.
Serious?
Yeah.
All right.
With an
well,
X?
Not that
Jax.
C-K-S.
I love when the ladies find out, though, that Jax, the actual actor, is gay. And is
Charlie
would not.
No,
oh really?
No,
oh really?
No,
oh, that's really
not crazy. That there's anything wrong with
no,
it.
No, never.
We're at the
no,
home of the LGBT comedy festival.
Yes.
Oh.
This
no, no, no,
is
it's great.
The red
no, I
ruby.
Think it's
Charlie Holmes gay. I had no idea.
Oh yeah, and it's hilarious because
yeah.
The girls are like just drooling over him, and
our
he's like.
It's okay.
I've never heard.
That's okay.
But wait a second. What woman has he ever gone out with that I could think of?
Well, he's never been photographed with one, but that does not mean.
No, I've been photographed with girls. Come on.
I won't argue the point. I was just sharing with you some facts.
No, I mean, a lot of gay men have beards. I've been a beard plenty of times.
Yes, well.
Unknowingly.
Whoa. That was so fucking random.
Yeah.
A lot of gay guys have beards.
And
what?
And a lot of them have goatees. A lot of them shave. I mean.
I am sitting next to two men.
What? I know. How random is that?
I'm so sorry. I didn't put it together.
A lot of gay men drink coffee.
I am so sorry.
Wait a second.
Wow.
I'm going to get back to you, Liam, but Kat, you just opened
great.
Something up. You've been a beard?
Unknowingly, you missed that part.
No, I caught it all, but
now I feel bad because I didn't mean to insult or but not that there's anything wrong with that.
Oh no,
same thing
I don't
against
care.
Beards or goat. I mean, it's what.
Well, let's stop it. No, let's focus.
you
the woman that and I wasn't going to get into this because we got into it a lot last time. Loves a dominant man.
Yes.
Who loves a man to take charge,
yes.
Pull your hair,
yes.
Spank your ass,
yes.
Have been with gay men and didn't know it.
Yes.
You're attracted to...
No, just...
But
was
did
one
they
time.
Know it?
And by the way...
Yeah,
and by the way, was it Charlie Hunnam? Was it...
I...
Oh, okay.
But you know
well,
what?
Obviously
well,
obviously, but if they
yes,
were with you,
it
they
was
were
Charlie
bisexual.
Call me at.
Obviously,
so they were bisexuals.
Yeah.
So what?
So yeah.
No, with a gay guy, totally. They're pussies. No, but with like a true dom.
Not all of them.
No, not all of them.
Oh, I got
buddies that are gay that could whip most guys' asses.
Really?
I do too.
That's my experience. No, I mean I am generalizing and stereotyping because that has been my experience.
Wait, what? State your name again, and that you're doing what? No,
Liam. My name is Liam.
Yes. So Liam has, and so I was doing some research about you. I was I do all my research on my bear guests. And you were adopted?
I was adopted.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I know you're Irish, but
all my family.
Have you done the genealogy? Are you full Irish? Are you not? Or?
Oh yeah, my both parents are. Right off the boat from Ireland.
Your adoptive parents?
No, my biological parents.
Oh, okay. So.
In fact, that's why I have my special February 8th, then my next Netflix special.
I can't wait for
in
this.
In Ireland. It's Liam Goes Home.
No, I can't
and
wait for that.
We're doing it in Dublin, yeah.
That's great. Have you done Ireland before?
What do you mean done?
Like done comedy
Ireland.
In Ireland.
No,
I know you've
yeah. No, we've I mean, I've lived there for years and,
okay.
You know, spent tons of time there. But never did comedy there.
Yeah, because I've done comedy in Canada, but that's the only foreign country I've gone to.
That's
got to be weird. Like, because
I did it in Texas.
Their sense of humor. Oh, yes,
that's
Texas
foreign.
Is kind of a foreign country.
Yeah, not Canada. Canada is closer than Texas.
But and I've done comedy in Texas too. But you know, the sense of humor is a little. Is it? Are you
prepared
for that?
They like my stuff.
Oh, okay.
They like my stuff.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Because it's that dry, deadpan, dark stuff and. And that's very melancholy Irish.
I like their food.
No,
yeah.
No, the food sucks.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's what I've heard.
That,
even
dry.
From true, like straight off the boat.
Yeah.
They, no.
No.
Not in a million years.
No, they're horrible cooks.
Oh.
Yeah. What they do is pretty much Anything you eat has been boiled for hours. That's it. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's why there's a lot of drinking.
It's not as, you know, not as good
in
as
America,
home
they
cooking.
Call that futon. Right. What do you call it when you fondue? Bam.
Leave it to the comedians to do the jokes, Kat, please.
I am going to get you a cape that says Captain Random.
Yeah,
I like it.
Really?
See, my fear is that you'll be doing your bit and it'll go over just like that. I don't want you to all these Irish people like, who's the weird guy on the stage with the big arms? You know.
Well, you've seen me. You've seen me.
No, you're great. You're great. Yeah, you're gonna go.
And I don't care. So that's.
Not... Well, what's great about your act is obviously and people that are watching on YouTube can see it. If you're not on. If you're listening, you can't see it. You're a large, intimidating guy with a big pair of arms. Now, you've been lifting for quite some time. Did you always lift? I mean,
was a competitive power lifter for years. I was actually number two in the world.
Oh, wow.
And I could never beat Ted Arcidi. And so I finally quit because being number two means absolutely nothing.
No, it doesn't. That's an amazing achievement.
It was so frustrating.
Well, your wife, when you said Ted Arcidi, she started giggling. I don't know what that
is. Well, because I love the guy. He's my friend, but it's very aggravating every single time you compete
to be number two.
Yeah, he just had a better pharmacist.
Over and over again.
So
I told Ted he just had a better pharmacist.
That's funny.
I was just going to say, were you guys juicing?
Everybody is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I know that. You know that. Yeah. I'm just stating it for the
moment. Hannah knows that now, so everybody's juicing.
I knew that. Come on, I worked at the Rainbow.
Oh, that's right.
I know what everybody's putting up their nose to.
Oh, really? What's that?
Is it good? Is
sometimes.
It worth it?
Okay.
But wow, so when you were powerlifting, was that before you were in the WWF or after?
No, it's before. In fact, that's how I got in the WWF. I was actually doing squats in Gold's Gym.
Okay.
This is really dating me, but Tom Platz. I don't know if anybody remembers
Tom
Platz.
Yeah. Okay. Like the biggest legs in the world. Like he was one of the biggest bodybuilders, but his legs were bigger
gigantic.
Than everybody's.
Oh, yeah. He was crazy. And I was doing squats with Tom and some other guys, and I was doing backflips and just messing around, right? And this guy. Yeah.
You were doing backflips at Gold's Gym while Tom Platz is powerlifting?
Yeah. Well, you know, we were taking turns. We had it was a squat day, and so this guy kept coming
so
up to me.
So let's do some black lips.
Well, this guy saw me, and he kept coming up and asking me if I ever thought of wrestling for WWF. I never followed WWF. For like 2 weeks straight, he just kept coming up.
Right.
Yeah. And to be honest, you know, I thought he was gay and he was hitting on me. And so I was being nice, and I was like, no, I'm cool, you know. And then the last time he came up, I was only making like $40,000 a year, and I was number two powerlifter of the world, right? And so here I am.
And how do you make money at powerlifting? Sponsorships?
Yeah, sponsorships. Okay. You know, not really. You know, the prize money isn't that great, but it's sponsorships. And $40,000 is a lot of money for, you know,
it's pretty good,
powerlifting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And but then this guy comes up and he says, "Look, we will start you at $5,000 a week. You know, all expenses paid." And I go, "I have always wanted to wrestle for WWF." And that's how I started.
Now, what was your character? I don't even remember.
Golden Gladiator. And do you remember Dino Bravo?
The name sounds familiar.
Okay,
yeah.
Dino Bravo was my biggest nemesis. He was the guy. He was the French Canadian.
Right.
And I would go out and get the crowd going USA, USA, and he'd come out all pissed off, you know. And then later, we'd get on the road and he'd do coke, and I would
do him.
The Golden Gladiator. Who came up with that one?
They come up with everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you have like a gold outfit?
No, I actually had chains and blue flame tights.
Right.
And then my hair had these blonde stripes in it when I had hair. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to look this up on YouTube. The Golden Gladiator.
Thank you. Yeah.
That's great.
And I did it for about a year, but
it was
a little over a year. But the problem was, your schedule is back then it was 14 days on.
Right.
2 days off. So I might get done in Tampa, Florida, fly home to, you know, Venice Beach. We lived in Venice Beach.
Right.
And the next day they're calling me going, "Hey, you got to be, you know, you got to be
Syracuse
in
Syracuse or something."
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I was making crazy money at the time, but all I was on the road. I wasn't living. So I just said, "Hey, I'm done, guys."
Were you good with the trash talk? Were you? You were the
They couldn't make me a villain. I was always a babyface. They just never, They can never do it.
Yeah, you don't have that look to you. You could even try. I don't think
that's what the beard is.
The crowd wouldn't let them. They'd like me no matter what we did.
Well, you do have that look. That's the thing. When you go up on stage, people initially are like scared of you.
Yeah, I love it.
At comedy.
When you get closer and you're like, oh, you're so nice.
You've been hanging out with him for like a half hour. So it's the eyes, though.
Yeah, because you look at your photo, you're like, oh, he's going to be kind of tough. And then you're just like, oh, hi. And it's like, oh,
and
wow.
It's just so warm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your eyes are so warm.
Yeah. I like kindness, and I like fun, and
aww.
I like, yeah.
I
prize those
things. They've been married for 12 years.
Yes. This is the kind of man we need to find for you guys.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm right here. Why are you so obsessed
with that?
But you know what? They don't exist.
Because you have horrible choice of men. That's men. That's why.
I've been single for like a year. I'm good.
Oh, you need to stop, Missy.
Anyway, so but no. But
I won't go into it.
Trust me. No, go ahead.
Oh no.
Oh, Kat, I was going to get to you in a second.
No, I was going to say. We're not done. 12 years.
No. That's great. But we're going to get to his. You don't want to fuck with this guy. He's a tough guy. Side in a second. But Kat.
Do you guys do BDSM? Any kink shit?
Oh, I'll bet they do.
You have?
Eight kids, come on.
I mean, right?
I would like
just
to say respectfully to my
off
wife.
Off the record.
On the record, to make everybody jealous. It's so weird. We have so many people that, like, hate us because we're happily married. Yeah. And, like, I don't look at other women. I don't flirt with other women. I don't go to strip clubs. I don't want anybody else.
Do you guys fuck, though? That's a question.
Eight kids in 12 years?
We fuck
a
lot.
I'm just saying, she could be very fertile.
No, we fuck a lot. But is it kinky? Sometimes it's just this romantic.
This is why I had Kat on. Is it kinky?
No, sometimes it's just romantic
just
stuff.
Curious.
Sometimes I'm spanking her and choking her. I mean,
really?
Yeah, we do all sorts of stuff.
So you keep it fun. You know?
We do.
So it's not the same routine.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Have you brought anybody else in?
No, never. I don't want anybody else.
I knew that was good.
No, I don't want anybody else. I don't want to ruin.
What about toys?
What's that?
Toys?
Doesn't need it.
Oh, my God. Dude, that many fucking years? Seriously? Is this a script?
No, it's just awesome.
No, wow. Trust me. I've known them. Like, last time I saw you guys was probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And then I saw you this week up, and same thing. Just you can tell. Look at her eyes, and that's happiness.
Well, you get that.
That's satisfaction.
And total comfort.
Well, because we were best friends for a year before, and I didn't.
Who asked who out?
Yeah, who made the first move?
Okay, here's a quick story. And it's like on one side of the story, I could sound like a weird, creepy stalker.
Pedophile.
And on the other side of the story, it's like romantic. So choose your side.
Okay.
I saw her at a street light, and it was years ago when we lived up north, and I owned a bunch of companies and stuff, and I saw her, and I didn't want to have anything to do with women. I was just mad, didn't like them. I thought they were all, you know what I'm saying? You know what, you get
that's
that?
That's how I am right now.
With
right.
Women, right?
Okay,
with
so you, want, no, you understand, right?
I understand completely.
A lot of guys don't admit that, you know, but they go through that. And I just didn't want anything to do with any women. I just was like, I saw her, she turned the corner, I saw her, and right then I fell in love. I did. First time I saw her, I fell in love. And so I go back to, remember MySpace?
Yeah.
So I put in all these demographics of my stuff, and I sit on there in my office for 8 hours, and I find her.
How?
And then, I just put in the demographics, and I just kept going through and going through and going through.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a small town up north. And so then I find her, and then in one of the companies I owned was a auto shop. And so I send her this coupon for 75% off and she responded.
How romantic.
Yeah. Well,
who would not take that offer? I'm sorry.
Well, it's totally a godsend because
on MySpace,
there was no picture of him. It was a picture of a truck. And I had just
that week
traded my car, I mean my boat for a little car, and it needed a transmission. And so I was like, oh, awesome. I can't afford $1,500 right off the front. So I'm like, this is way too good to be true. So I messaged, I said, is this a real deal? And he said, yes. And then he explained, I'll let you make payments.
I was like, okay, now this is really too good of a deal. So I called, and he's like, no, just come into the office. And so when I walked in, I was like, whoa, what did I just walk into? Because he was just amazing. It was like angels were flying over him.
You didn't see him at first, but then
I did see him.
So obviously she does drugs.
I didn't put two and two together.
And what did you think when you saw him? I mean, he's a big, intimidating guy.
It was incredible. It was like there was angels just flying over him. I was like, what? And I had only been with one other person before him.
And you could tell he liked you.
Oh, well, kind of. But he was so afraid to say anything. So then here's where it gets
I'm just
really,
real respectful.
He I was. Just... And I was going through a really hard part in my life. And he was my friend. He never tried advancing at me. He
but
never,
not at that time.
No, not at all. Aww. Until one day I was like.
I didn't want to ruin her. I didn't think she'd be interested in me. And so I didn't want to ruin the friendship because we had such a great friendship. She turned into my best friend.
Yeah, and then so one day I was like, oh, my gosh, if I don't say something to him, someone else is going to come along and take him away.
Yeah.
So I texted him and said, can I be your dirty little secret? And then it just went from there.
Aww. Oh, it went from there.
He's like, get to my office right now.
Well, so speaking of dirty little secrets, you've been quite pretty dirty the whole show, Kat.
I want to hear about some of your dirty secrets.
Oh, God, we don't have enough time.
Yeah, I mean,
throw your top five out.
I had you on to talk about motorcycles and your ballet and your dancing and Kat's entertainment, but everyone's, you know, you seem to be into the S&M and all that, so we'll talk about that as usual. Now, when did you first start riding motorcycles?
Oh, going through my fourth midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Now, are we talking about Harleys or Rice Rockets?
Sorry. No offense, because not that there's anything wrong with that.
Uh-oh, here's the Harley Japan Japanese bike argument.
It's not Japan, America. It's fucking sport bike and Harleys. It's like sitting in your couch or fucking doing something.
So I guess Harleys then.
Yeah.
Okay.
High five.
Yeah,
there you go.
No, sport bike.
So okay. So whose bike did you first get on the back of that really got you into it?
That's funny. I think I was about 21 years old, right. And I was playing pool, and my then pseudo boyfriend at the time we were
the gay one or a different one?
Different one.
Okay.
This was like my first serious relationship. I was like all of 21, 22. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we joined a pool league and we had a regular bar that we went to and
wait a second. You're 21 and you're doing in their pool league?
Yes. I used to
were the bowling leagues all like sold out or something? I mean
No, pool. Pool is
playing pool.
Did you have shirts you all wore the same shirt?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your
league name in the pool hall?
Yeah. I have to get back to you. I don't
know. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, like everyone knows me there. I'm not gonna cause any trouble, although on this one particular evening I don't know what made me do it. Two things happened. One is I pulled the beard of someone, not unlike yourself.
It's a lot of beard stuff going on tonight.
As a joke, because we were all outside smoking a cigarette, like joking, and I just, and that didn't end too well, but it also didn't end too badly.
Really?
Yeah, because I don't know if it was him, because I don't recall, or somebody else's bike that I didn't even know who it was. I just jumped on, it was a Harley.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is so cool.
You felt the vibration.
It wasn't even about that. It was about just...
The wind in your hair.
I love how you say it wasn't about that, because he has a joke about that.
Tell us.
Oh, it's not funny. It's not funny. And
I mean,
it's
oh, my
context.
God. I'm sorry to do this.
That's
I was
okay.
At the stock room the other day. They have this...
Here we go. Okay.
No. You... not that we're
the stock room is a sex toy kink friendly store.
They have
go figure. You were there.
Don't say a dildo that's shaped as a Harley.
That would be a good one. Not for me particularly.
I bet you there's one out there because there's Motorhead vibrators.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, this must have been on a goddamn motorcycle motor because it was some other chick. It was a tester. The chick that pushed the button, I was walking by. She said, you have to feel this. I put my hand. I was like, oh, my fucking God.
What is it? What was it?
I don't know, but it's what do you call the machines with the penis that vibrates? But it was beyond
the Sibian.
That. Yeah, but it was like so far into the future Sibian. Like, I wish
Christopher
I could...
Lloyd? Sibian?
Oh. Well, definitely not. What's his name? Superman.
Nobody got that?
Yeah, no, I got it. Okay, just, I'm just like, wow, that's...
both.
We were on a great track. I don't know how the hell that happened. You were, man.
But anyway, yeah.
You really, you.
No, I was returning a pair of nipple clamps.
Were they defective?
I think so.
What was wrong with them? How
they wouldn't hold the nipple. I've got the biggest fucking nipples in the world. If they can't grasp onto mine, what chance
defective,
does
any... And they took them back?
Yeah, fuck yeah, they did.
Amazing.
I think they resold
off rack. Yeah. Yeah.
That's why they were probably defective. Good one. Yes. Yeah,
was it on the bargain rack?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay. Folks, don't get bargain rack nipple clamps.
Don't buy like the porn videos for a penny that they have now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, buy a sex toy and get a toy for like a... Whatever. I don't know. There's
they've always got something.
What's wrong with the DVDs? What are you
talking
about?
Yeah, are they bad? I mean,
they look bad. I don't know.
Oh, you've not seen them.
Who watches porn on DVD anymore? It's all on the computer.
I don't know. I hear people say they watch porn to check out the styles.
It's probably
of the
retro.
Oh my God. That's such a. You know what? I did start paying attention to.
That's okay.
Well,
I got to figure out how to share this. But
I was trying to understand what defines.
Yeah, you guys. Okay. Anyway, well, you guys are having a private conversation. I'll get back to Liam here.
Okay, yeah.
Because Liam, Liam's such a cute, cuddly guy, and had such a great story. That's your story is romantic. Now, what's the age difference between you two?
We're over 10 years apart.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice older man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Over 20 or just 10?
Just over 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. She looks a lot younger than you do.
She gets carded all the time.
I just turned
she
it.
Does.
Last
she,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have a question for all you guys. So I've always dated older guys. So what is your take on, say, if I was to date someone 10 years younger than me?
You're going to die.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
They're so
honestly,
eager.
I don't.
Especially if they're really mature for their age.
Oh, yeah. Bullshit.
It's okay.
It's such a fuck.
Of course. Why not?
I don't.
Just get it. Get it when and while you can.
I really don't. But I did read somewhere along the lines of my life that they say that cougars die younger
because
they're trying so hard to please their man. So, and it's hard on their heart. Do I believe it? Do I understand if it's true or not? I don't know.
I believe it from my last.
Oh God,
I went through. Yeah,
it's very hard on the girl's body.
It depends on the person.
It seems like
more eager because you're competing with fucking 14-year-olds.
But why does it matter?
I'm just wondering because society kind of looks at you kind of funny.
So what?
Do they?
Yes.
I date older women all the time. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, what the fuck?
If he's like my man, go for it.
Yeah.
Not this man.
Is he like that guy? This guy's one of a kind.
This is the only man I have.
Yeah.
This is one of a kind, though.
Jesus.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, you're cute, you're cuddly, you're romantic, yet, you and
did you read my background?
Did I read this right? You were an enforcer in the Italian mafia?
Oh, yeah.
No. How? Yeah. You're Italian.
No,
he's Irish.
I'm Irish.
Sorry. What did I just say?
No, I couldn't be a made man, but I worked for the Italian mafia
for
years.
She was Italian mafia, and she was dark Irish and Italian.
Right. So, this was before powerlifting, after powerlifting?
After.
Oh, okay. Yeah. After the WWF.
What happened was, years ago, we used to go down to Mexico and get steroids. Before they were illegal.
Right.
And once they became, and it was just a bunch of guys from the gym, everybody throw in money,
right.
You know, and say, get this, get that, and we get them. Then they became illegal. Well, I stopped doing it because it wasn't, like, worth it to go down to Mexico and get it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, yeah, making big bucks like Coke or some, you know, stuff like that.
Sure.
And so as I stopped to do that, I went and... wrestled for WWF.
Right.
Then I opened up a chain of health spas.
Right.
Very successful. So I'm making literally millions at the time. And the two people that I used to do it with, they kept doing it. And they got busted.
Mm.
And then you know how the cops go, hey, who's the big kingpin, blah, blah, blah. Well, we had, I had a condo on a golf course, a big mansion. I had, you know, I'm driving around a Porsche and a Jag. So they come and arrest me. Okay.
Wow.
So, true story, and I'll go fast with it. But so when they arrested me, I had never been a part of the, you know, system or, you know, around cops or anything like that. So I really didn't know what was going on. And nobody was telling me what I was arrested for. Mm-hmm. But I was, you know, I'm benching, you know, over 700 pounds.
Right.
I look like a cartoon character. And they were afraid to put me in general population. And, of course, I'm not going to PC up, you know, protective custody or something. So they put me in what's called the hole, right? So they put me in solitary confinement. Oh. And so when they did, I had a panic attack, and I literally, this true story, it's all documented, I ripped the door off of the cell, the iron door off of the cell.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and like, you know, so how things gossip spreads. By the time I got to general population.
You were a legend.
I was Superman. The Hulk, Incredible Hulk, and Oprah all rolled into one.
Now,
right?
Now, wow. this could go one of two ways. Either people give you respect, or people try to fuck with you. What happened?
Both. When I came on the floor, the guy that was the shot caller came up and he says, "Hey, I want to give you the keys," which is making me the shot caller.
Right.
I have no idea what the guy's talking about.
Right.
And so I'm like, okay, you know. And I kept waiting while he's having this conversation with me. I'm waiting for him to hand me some sort of keys. You know, I'm like mm-hmm. Forrest Gump here.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on. So basically, I become the shot caller in there. But in there was Ed Whittinger, Tommy Campese, all of these,
right.
You know, all these, you know, guys that mm-hmm. are real legit mob guys.
Right.
And I ended up protecting them because I was a shot caller in there. When I got out...
I don't mean to interrupt, but
that's okay.
Shot caller for the white people, or what? Shot caller for everybody.
White.
I'm not kidding here, because I was.
No, you have to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah, because that's the way prison is.
Oh no,
is.
I Everybody's was the white. Yeah. Yeah, 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 for the whites, which mean, and then you negotiate with the other races and
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
So I protected them. So when I got out. When I got out, I was greeted with a igloo of $50,000, a 928 brand new 928 Porsche, and a card to a tailor. And the guy said, "Hey, go get 7 suits and meet so and so out in La Quinta at 10 in the morning."
That's a lot of fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And that's how I became an enforcer. They just took care of me like that, and I worked for them till I got in big trouble.
What was big trouble?
If you want to say, you don't have to.
No. It's all documented. It's actually, it was on A&E's investigative report. So
okay.
There's actually a TV show about that arrest.
Right.
I have other arrests. But they arrested me. It's a historical case because a cop got arrested and a DEA guy got fired. Yeah, they set us up, my crew up, and I got arrested for 2 tons of marijuana, 15 kilos of heroin.
Tons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how much did you have? One?
No, we didn't have any.
Just kidding.
And silencers, machine guns, and hand grenades. And I was looking at 44 years to life.
Wow.
I was handcuffed to Frank Gambino every time to trial. He's the one that got the cosmetic surgery and everything.
From the Gambino family.
Exactly. You know what? Those guys, the most integrity, most legit people, you know, go by the book people. I can't say
anything different.
Well, no, I can't say anything but good about them, to be honest with you. And in the middle of trial, the judge stopped the trial and arrested the cop.
But how long after?
Oh, I was in for over a year, and I couldn't get, they wouldn't let me have bail. And so we went to trial, and in the middle of trial, the judge stopped, thanked the jury, and the jury left, and nobody knew what was going on. And the judge said, "Arrest him." And it was Rodney Martin, the LAPD cop.
Wow.
Was arrested. And then he just railed at them. And then we were released because they tried to set us up. So yeah, everybody was fired.
Were you in the picture at this time or no?
This was right before.
Right. Yeah.
Wow. That's like something out of a movie.
So why did they target you to begin with?
Because I wasn't a made man. And what happened was Ed Whittinger, who was a mafia associate, he got busted with a bunch of stuff. And, you know, I was down on the totem pole. I'm 100% Irish. I'm, you know,
so they had to rat somebody out. So they wanted
they
to rat,
gave you up.
Rat the Irish guy. That How many handcuffs did they use when they arrested you?
Literally
Cat
4.
Wants to know.
I was going to say.
I do. Because it 4. Took
literally.
I would imagine,
four sets?
Yeah.
4 sets or so 2 sets?
No, four sets.
Linked together.
You got to link them together. Because,
my God.
He's a big dude.
I'm 315.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm just looking at your jaw on the floor here.
I'm just so in awe.
That's one trial.
Yeah, no. I went to the box for life for another one.
So how'd you get into comedy? What got you into comedy?
Because, you know, when you're on death row.
I mean, this is hysterical. I can understand.
Okay, let me tell you about my last trial, and I'll try to give you the Reader's Digest version of that one.
Okay.
And then I got into comedy after that one.
Right.
We were up north. We had a bunch of businesses. We had a tattoo shop. We had the auto shop.
Legit.
All legit. We had a dispensary that was all legal and everything. Right near Cal State Chico, so it was like a revolving door of. So we were doing quite well.
Cat's interrogating you on your.
I'm so fascinated. I'm trying to figure shit out.
And I'll just give you the Reader's Digest version. So there was a guy that was supposedly a one percenter that they raided his shop, motorcycle shop, which we helped him buy and get into, ironically, and they found a gun in his shop. And so he was a two striker, which means he was looking at 25 to life.
Right.
The cops say to him, "Hey, do you have anything for us that you could work off this thing?" He said, "What are you looking for?" And there was a murder and a kidnapping that took place up there. And he goes, "Oh, I got the guy." And he said, "I did the murder and the kidnapping and murder for hire." And so I was arrested. She was arrested. They came busting down our door about 40 deep, we had four of the kids at home, and thank God my mother-in-law was there. Otherwise, CPS would have had the kids. Aww. And, we were arrested, and she got out in 72 hours. But I was there for 4 years. They wouldn't let me talk to her for the 4 years because they said she was a co-conspirator. Oh, we went to trial. There was a video of the murder. I kind of stand out. I'm 315 pounds. Yeah. I kind of stand out. I was not in the video of the murder. The people that got, when we went to trial, the people that got kidnapped, when they were on the stand, my attorney went up. He almost went up like he had a cup of coffee and a cigarette, like, "Hey, whatever." And he said, "Hey, is this the guy that kidnapped you?" And they go, "No, we've never seen him before in our life." And so the jury, when the jury went back, they processed and came right back crying because they found out I was there for 4 years. I was found innocent of all of it. And then we came back home, which is L.A., is our home. Mm-hmm. That's where I was born and raised. And that's when I started doing comedy. My uncle, who's like a big guy with John Mellencamp, right. Bruce Springsteen, all, you know, the rock and roll scene, said, "Why don't you go back?" Because I did stand up once in a while, you know, here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Why don't you go get back into comedy?" And I go, "All right, you know."
Pete's getting thrown in jail for 4 years.
Yeah,
he had a lot of time on his hands. He was in solitary confinement.
Well, see, now I know why you guys have...
Easy, I'm sorry. You guys have such a strong connection with Roland.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Now I know why...
we've been through...
You've been so in love. Well, also, you were apart for 4 years, so that's...
How did you stay? Why did you stay? I mean, you had no idea Or did you know? Like, when he went away, right? You had no idea. Like,
I was involved. I was there. I went to jail.
I know, but you were in jail for 4 years, too?
No, she was in jail for...
72 hours.
72 hours. No, but she knew he was innocent, and she was in love with him.
Oh, I see. I gotcha.
Oh, you're asking why I stayed with him, because I loved him.
And you knew he was innocent.
I knew for sure. Oh, okay. Yeah. And they actually...
Because they were busy fucking. That's why.
They actually had me.
No, but what I don't understand is how come this like, clincher took 4 years to come out?
It was a small town. They knew. Later on, we found out from my lawyer that the guy that was handed my case, the DA that was handed my case, was going to run against the district attorney in the county, and the district attorney gave him our case, knowing it was a crap case to make him look bad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's politics.
Oh, yes. Totally. Yeah,
I feel so bad for you.
Yeah. They're making what's great is they're making a movie about my life. So that
it'd be a fascinating movie. Yeah. Well, who's gonna play you?
Oh,
Vin Diesel.
Charlie,
I mean,
Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam. who would you like to play you?
I have
not James Franco. Who would you like to play you?
Oh, I don't know. They've
Manoa.
Said Russell Crowe. They've said some other people.
Maybe.
But it has to be, maybe. You know, it has to be my younger years doing stuff too. So I don't know.
Marky Mark.
No. Hell no.
But he's good.
He sucks.
He
sucks. He sucks it in every movie.
His body is just
his body is whatever his body, but
oh come on.
He's the same every
Jason
fucking
Manoa?
Movie.
Am I saying his last name right? Manoa?
You Momoa.
Know. Oh.
Jason Momoa.
Oh my god, have you seen Bad Bitch? Batch? Bad Batch?
Yes, I have.
Oh my god.
He was like
sorry.
A cannibal in that.
Oh my god.
I don't know what's going on over
I
there.
Had no
well, what were you gonna say before? You sorry. You had something you wanted to say? You guys,
yeah,
you guys like?
No, no, no. That who
okay.
should play?
Oh,
in
Jason.
Movie.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying for your like, your younger years. That would be a good one because he's you know. Has
oh
a
my
to
God!
Him.
Yeah,
there's
not
he's
there's not
gentle look to him as well.
Well it's The Rock, or I mean, it's
no.
gotta be somebody with muscles.
Well,
yeah.
I did, and I did bare knuckle fighting for 9 years too.
Oh, really?
Undefeated too. So
really,
was, yeah,
because that's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were undefeated in bare knuckle fighting.
9 years.
Oh my God!
How she's. Like I say, he's not just a big cuddly guy. He's a tough guy.
But I've never, you know what? I've never started a fight in my life. I've never started
right.
a fight.
I believe that.
Yeah, yeah, so do I.
How did you get into bare knuckle fighting?
Needed to make some money. And I had a guy, well, just factually, I had a guy that saw that I had six guys come at me and I beat the crap out of all six of them. I'm not, you know, it sounds like I'm a, oh, macho, you know, doing that thing. I'm just telling you what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
He saw me beat up six guys really bad when they attacked me.
Right.
And then he said, hey, man, you know, and he grabbed me and he says, want to make some money?
Right.
And so, you know, it was all underground then, you know.
It has
and,
to be, yeah.
Yeah, and so I said, well, yeah, I want to make some money. So I started doing the circuit. I didn't go down to Tijuana. I never went down south of the border. I did
right.
the U.S. and the Canadian and the European thing, which was safer. But,
so to speak.
Yeah.
May I ask, what was your worst injury?
Yeah.
Boxing?
Doing the bare
just
knuckle?
Just in general with everything.
Powerlifting, wrestling, boxing?
Fighting, yeah.
Was it this here?
What's a? Well, that was a bar fight. I had a whole bunch of guys
oh.
attack me.
Oh, I thought that was like a sexual injury. I didn't know what was going on.
No, I won. I won every
yeah.
every match. I mean, I won every match. I'm not trying to sound. I you know, my humility is real. I mean, I.
I think she's asking like, what was the worst thing that happened to you when you were bare knuckle fighting?
Yeah.
Well, I was a bleeder, so my
okay.
like I my
yeah,
eyes
I
would
do tattoos on him. He bleeds like
my eyes would get cut. You know, my eyes would get cut and bleed a lot and stuff like that. But I knew I had to, you know, I'm a big guy, but I'm not tall. I'm only 5'11".
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd go against guys because I was so big. There was a lot of guys that, you know, I'd fight that were like 6'4" with a reach that
yeah,
was unreal.
Yeah, you could break them down.
Well, yeah, and I'd get inside, and so they couldn't even get
yeah.
me because they'd have to fight around me. So I would just take the guys out really fast. A lot of times what guys do is in bare knuckle fighting or boxing or whatever, they measure a guy before
mm-hmm.
they really go for it. You know,
mm-hmm.
they do what's called measuring.
Just stick out a jab.
Yeah, yeah. See
so
how
like
far,
the, real fight
the style.
Club.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I would never do that. I would just
mm-hmm.
go right in and knock them out. So,
okay.
and most of the people that I, almost all the people that I, fought I knocked out. So
So what tattoos have you put on him?
Yeah. is that a kinky thing?
Well,
I've done her
name.
Mm-hmm. I did, that's my signature. I did the Irish on the wrists. I did a lot of works on this.
Oh,
see, that's great.
The skulls and stuff.
Excuse me.
I did do this one here for his dad's memorial. I did the
Irish. Yeah, that's great.
I did these.
Jesus.
Wow.
I actually did Stoner Rob, and that's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I love
yeah, Stoner Rob is on me.
I tattooed,
yeah.
I drew.
Stoner
I
Rob
drew.
Has my back all the time.
Yes.
Stoner Rob's another comedian.
And then his favorite.
He's my family.
Yeah, we'll have him on. We'll have him on soon.
Oh,
yeah,
you guys will love
good.
Him.
Is he literally your family or no?
No, we've known each other since we were kids. So
really?
It's like, yeah, I knew him back before he did K-Cal and everything else.
Yeah.
We knew each other when we were kids, so. We're just like family.
So getting back to the comedy. So what
yeah.
was the first time that you did a little bit after all this ordeal, after powerlifting, bare knuckle boxing, wrestling, jail time, being a mafia enforcer?
And
you
a
go
great
on.
Husband.
Well, and I was also
and
a professor.
And a pantomime.
Professor
of
political science and philosophy. I taught Greek and Hebrew and political science and philosophy at Cal Baptist University.
Okay. So when you walked in, the kids were misbehaving, I'm guessing.
Well, you know what's funny is I would, for the new kids, of course all the kids knew me on campus, you know, because I'd ride up on the Harley and I'd go to class. I'd go to class like this, you know. And
no way.
Oh, yeah.
They allowed that?
Well, there's a reason I didn't work there anymore.
Oh,
they said I had to sign the Baptist faith and message. You know, they got new trustees, and I was like, I can't. I don't believe that stuff.
Right.
So, but it was funny because I'd sit for the new students, because everybody had to take American government, and that was one of the classes I taught.
Mm-hmm.
So these new students would come in, and they'd heard about me, and so they'd be talking about me, and I'd be sitting in the back, and I'd hear them, you know, oh, yeah. Dr. Brunley this, and, you know, they'd be, like, talking about all this stuff to me.
Oh, you have a doctorate?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, so they'd be talking about all this stuff, right?
Jesus Christ.
And then, no, Liam Brunley.
They need to make this movie, like,
yeah,
now.
The guy in Dos Equis is not the most interesting man in the world. This is right here.
I agree.
No, but then I'd go.
I will meme you.
I will wait, but I'd wait till they'd talk to me. Talk about me like crazy, right? And then I just walk up to the board and write my name, and they'd be like, "Oh God, we just talked crap about this guy." You
know? And so, how many were left by the end of the semester? Sorry,
no,
I'm just kidding.
I'd always have to write in students, you know, because you get a capacity, and then you'd have to write the students in for letting them in more. Mm-hmm. I had tons of students always wanting to get my classes. Yeah, I had a blast doing that.
Were you a scrappy kid, or were you always kind of like muscular?
I was put in school. A year early,
mm-hmm.
and then I was a little guy, and then they advanced me in school, so I was 2 years younger, actually about 2.5 years younger than everybody, and so in school, I was a little guy, but I would never, like, I got my butt kicked almost every day.
Is that what made you start lifting? And
well, yeah, actually what made me start lifting was I was on tried out for the football team in junior high,
mm-hmm.
and the football coach would tell me, hey, you know, you got the heart, you got the skill, but you got to put on some size, you know. But I was 2.5 years younger, right? So I went in the gym, and when I went in the gym, I genetically had this propensity, you know, all of a sudden mm-hmm. I'm benching more than the guys that are like twice my weight and deadlifting more than, you know, the guys that are twice my weight. So I never came out of the gym. Wow. You know what I mean? I never came out of, I just kept powerlifting and doing
that. So
you're
just genetically gifted.
Yeah.
So you're smart. You got the strength.
I don't
know
how smart
the heart.
I am,
are you an only child?
No.
Family of 10?
I have billions of sisters and a brother that's anytime I see him, I chase him down the street wanting to kick his ass.
Mm-hmm. In a good way or a bad way?
In a bad way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But
he's a billionaire dick.
But this is what happens in the comedy clubs, because people, I mean, how many times have you just been standing there and people think you're the security guard?
Oh, all the time.
It's me too.
I think that almost 90% of the time when we do shows, people, and if it's at a club or a bar or whatever, they come to him and be like, oh, can I come in?
When I'm touring,
where's the bathroom? Yeah, yeah.
When I'm touring and we're like out of state and stuff, and we go to a new club, it's hilarious because if they're a new person at the club, I'll walk in and they'll be like, "Excuse me, you have to get a ticket," or you know, and I'm like, "I'm headlining. Look at the poster," and they're like,
"Oh."
It's
like the other night when we did the show.
Yeah.
With you.
Oh, yeah.
Tell them what happened.
We were at the State Social with Chad Ridgely after
that
event. And we're about ready to leave to go to the Rainbow. And he's standing at the door because we're waiting for everybody to come downstairs. And he starts carding everybody. And they're giving their IDs.
Oh.
And I'm dying laughing because he's
I can do that. Yeah, I get the same thing. Yeah.
But when we were – remember when we met at the – I saw you and I went up and gave you a hug at the bar next to the where we did the roast?
Right.
Well, there was two LAPD officers, and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they were freaked out when I walked in because there's you and me. And the guy's going – the cop was telling the other cop, hey, watch my back. They told us this later, right?
Really?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, man, there's this 1% biker and some crazy dude.
Just a little context. We did a roast for Chad Ridgely, who's a great comic. Also,
wonderful
former
guy.
Policeman. Mm. So there were a lot of policemen in the audience.
Mm. Yeah.
And they, like, they They clocked me as a 1%er, and they clocked me as a total weirdo. So yeah. And by the way, they were absolutely right.
Yes.
So,
yeah,
but we were comics. I had a little eyeliner on.
But
yeah.
What freaked them out was when we left. When incredible. We left and went to where the stage was, where we were going to do the roast, yeah. They walked in and there's you and I, and they yeah. went, "Oh, okay." Oh, okay. They were like, "Oh, okay."
Chad's weird friend.
Yeah.
So, Kat, what is going on with Kat's Entertainment?
Oh no, I had a question.
Please go ahead.
No, I totally brain farted.
Okay, well,
anything.
Well, no, I mean, it was as a result of...
You already asked if we had a brother, and...
No, it was as a result of something you guys just were going back
the
and
cops,
forth.
The cops. Freaked out.
What role do you play?
What's that mean?
Like, well, no, in the sense of, like... Cause
she's
guys,
going back to the sexual thing.
Sometimes a French maid.
No. Like, I mean, in the context, because obviously you guys are together a lot, or maybe not.
Oh, we're together all the time.
We do a lot together. I do have a full-time job during the day, and then I enjoy comedy and all this stuff.
Right.
At night. And I've actually been writing comedy for, 6 months?
Yeah, she's actually going to be on the Ireland special. She's doing 3 minutes opening. Uh-huh.
That's great.
For the Ireland
Congrats.
Special, yeah.
That's great. And you said this is like your next Netflix special? Did you already have one? Or?
Yeah, I had one Friday, and it went fabulous.
Where'd you tape that?
At the Fox Theater in Riverside.
Oh, that's great. Is it going to be a full one or one of the 15-minute ones?
They haven't edited it yet, but I think it's going to be like an hour because they're going to put the three other comedians that I had come with me that did 10 minutes each. And they're going to have their spots on there. And I had a rock band, a live rock band that played and everything.
Incredible.
So it was a great show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And then, so we're going to Ireland February. And then the next one, the third one, they're doing in Tracy Prison. And I'm going to do it in prison.
That's good.
Yeah. So the first one is Liam goes home, and then the second, the other one goes back to jail.
The reason they're doing all this is because I have a sitcom coming out, and they want my name to get out there for the sitcom.
A Netflix sitcom?
They don't know if they're right now. They're negotiating with Showtime, HBO, Netflix, and Prime, and all of them. Yeah.
So what's the premise of the sitcom?
It's basically my comedy.
Our life.
Right? Yeah.
It's basically my comedy.
Reality show.
Yeah. No.
He's not gonna be in solitary confinement.
We do have a reality show coming out with it. That's like kind of the behind the scenes thing that. Rides, they'll be with my biker guys riding around, and then with my comedian guys and stuff. That's coming out too. But the premise of the show is basically my comedy, where I'm this biker that fights in bars and tells cops to piss off and everything, and then I come home and my wife and kids kind of punk me out.
Got it.
So basically real life. Yeah.
One.
So basically, yeah, we're yeah. And yeah. they had Erin Hayes, I don't know if you've heard of her, wonderful actress, slated to be my wife. They had her hired for the whole thing. And then the producers saw her do some stuff and said, wait a minute, we could actually get some more improv stuff. So they're actually going to have her play herself in the sitcom. Which I love because that's another paycheck.
Yeah. very meta, though.
Yeah.
More time together, too.
Yeah.
That's very meta, though.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah. That's a lot of time together.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That's 15 hours on the set.
Yeah.
I was watching the kids.
15
What's that?
I
was watching the kids.
The nanny's on the set. You.
I'm not watching the kids.
No. Hey, it's like, you know what?
We drop them off with Grandpa, and you can watch the kids.
You know what? When you have that many, it's like herding cats. And if we lose one, we don't really know. It doesn't matter.
Right.
All cats matter.
that's from Kat. Now, have you done comedy in a prison before? I'm sure you have.
No.
Or have you?
No,
you know what?
Not outside of prison.
No, I mean, actual comedy show in prison.
No,
because I haven't done in prison. I've done rehabs and things, and also a youth detention center.
Yeah,
some of the best crowds you'll ever have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they want to break up the monotony.
Well, this is actually where I was my last release.
So it's the prison that you were at.
I was at. And there's a story that goes with it. I was supposed to be released on a certain day, and an inappropriate guard sent me to medical. and you had to be released before 6 o'clock or they don't release you. Well, this one guard sent me to medical to mess up things, right?
No, it's so, not 6 in the morning or 6 at night?
6 in the morning. Yeah. So I get back, and I walk in, and the guard goes, "Where have you been?" I go, "What do you mean, where have I been? I don't go anywhere you don't tell me." You know what I mean? Like I'm right. wandering around, you know, picking flowers or something.
Right.
And she goes, "You were supposed to be out of here at 6. Now we're not going to be able to process you." Well, what happened, Reader's Digest version again, all of a sudden there was this chant, and my nickname there was, shot caller nickname there was Pappy, and they said, "Let Pappy go." And all of a sudden, our pod, which was a very high-level pod,
right.
they start all chanting, everybody, every let race, Pappy everybody, go. Let Pappy go.
Let Pappy go.
Then the next one did, and the next one, and the entire prison was saying, and they could hear it outside of the prison, the family, you know, my family waiting, these guys are waiting, and they were saying, "Let Pappy go, let," and they thought they were going to have a riot on their hands, so they went ahead and let me out that day.
They better, yeah, because they would have.
Yeah, and the lieutenant told me, she said, "We've never done this, but we thought there was going to be a riot." So so now that I'm going back there, the CDC, you know, the Department of Corrections,
right?
They're actually pretty excited for me to come back and do the special there,
right? Yeah, as long as they let you out again.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What I
said. Yeah, bingo. Well, that's smart. I mean, that would be great to have that chant right at the end of the special.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Let Pappy go.
And know the beginning.
Let Pappy go.
When he comes on stage.
Yeah. It's like a high school reunion.
Yes.
So, Kat, now
yes, you're a ballerina.
You're a ballerina.
Former,
but are you still? But you're still dancing. You're still teaching dancing.
I still do it all.
I'll bet.
That's awesome.
Well, apparently, certain parts of me aren't able to do it all, but the cat face.
You
alive
do have
and well.
So beautiful. You have a great personality, and aww. I look up to dancers because I have no rhythm, and I wish I could.
Everybody has rhythm.
No. How would you teach Hannah?
Well, it depends on what Hannah would like to know, because yeah. I have a whole curriculum.
Not submissive. I'm talking about the ballerina, the dancing.
Well,
she would have to be submissive.
How would you teach her how to have rhythm?
Well, honestly, I would probably just like have her in a dark room or like a semi-dark room and just listen to the music with me in various like ranges. I'm not a musician or a DJ or no mm-hmm. computers or anything, but like emphasize the bass, right? Mm-hmm. For example, until you felt your heart was going with the rhythm of the bass, and then I'd slowly bring in the upper instruments, and eventually it happens.
Wow.
It just clicks.
Whoa.
That's fantastic. I've never heard anything described like that.
Yeah.
Neither have I.
Wow.
I'm glad we're recording this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna need this later.
No. I mean, what? I mean, have you had somebody that just that
yes.
you tried to teach that just couldn't get it?
No. I've never had a student that did not walk away with something. Now, perhaps the student came in looking to, like, want to be sexy for her husband. Mm-hmm. But what
she walked away... Because you teach pole dancing
and
things
like
that.
That's what
I
want to take, too.
Yeah, burlesque, you know, along with the classical styles, ballet, mm-hmm. jazz, all that sort of stuff. But, and it didn't happen for me until much later. I didn't discover, like, the whole sexual component of a woman until... I don't know, less than 10 years ago. And so there's so many women that are out there that are forced or feel as though there's this pressure to be in control at all times, have their shit together, independent, because, you know, you got to get married by X, you got to have children by X. So this is the one place where they are allowed the freedom and the expression to just be, whatever that means for them.
Love it.
And then if we learn something about our bodies and how to move them and, you know, you get mm-hmm. something else out of it, like, you know, fitness
or
whatever.
Do you teach men, too?
Yeah.
I do.
Okay,
all ages, all sexes.
I was
going
to say,
and
you don't need to be taught. You know how to. You got
yeah,
to
yeah, yeah, I can see you on the pole. I mean, that's
oh, my God. I'm already seeing
I've
you on the pole.
I've never met a man that has good rhythm. This guy can
dance. I don't think I've ever seen you dance, but I can imagine. I can imagine.
She always tries to get me to crump because I crump.
Oh, crump. Do it. Do it. Do it.
He will not do it. The last time he did it was 4 years ago.
What's crump?
I can't even do it. It's where you take.
Well, show us, please. Demonstrate.
Is that what it is? Just like rolling the shoulders?
No, it's like a
crump force cat.
No.
Our listeners know.
Yes, they do.
Well, we're on YouTube too, so.
Think about it as a roast, right? Except rather than using words, you're using your body, right?
This wasn't like capoeira.
Dude, I'm fucking brilliant. Where is this shit coming from? Sorry.
It's coming from the IPA that you're drinking, I think. Yes.
If you'd like to sponsor the Dark Mark Show, please.
Oh, please do.
please reach out.
And by the way, that's Golden something, and your wrestling name was Golden, the Golden something.
The Golden Rod. Oh.
Yeah. So that's
when we're at home.
So Kat.
That was funny.
That was.
He's a comedian. He's got Netflix specials and sitcoms. He's a funny guy. You got to see him go on stage. The audience initially doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Some of them are running out as he comes out.
Well, not everybody, but some people are like, you know, like, especially, you know, I mean, let's be honest, comedy is increasingly young and good looking.
Yeah.
So when you go on stage.
Like who?
Like a lot of them.
Anthony, Danny.
I don't find any of them attractive.
Really? Well, no, but I'm saying they're young and conventionally attractive.
Before he became a sellout, but
that's the trend of what their producers are wanting.
Yeah. Compared to Rodney Dangerfield and Buddy Hackett and like, you know.
I think the funnier looking they are, it's kind of helps them out.
I'm saying
that.
But we're the exception.
And by the way, thanks.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I meant, though, right?
Yeah,
I know exactly what you meant. But anyway, so you come on, nobody looks like you. And people like, let the security guard, is this last call? What's going on? And you just disarm them. And a lot of people, I'm sure, are expecting you to be like just a menace on stage.
Yeah.
And then you just lull them in.
My stuff is very dark.
Yes.
You know, I talk about stabbing, shooting, death,
your life,
prison. Yeah, everything. But I hardly ever cuss.
Right.
And I never do any blue stuff.
Right.
And I don't do any political stuff. And so it throws them all. Like, I don't do any racist stuff. Oh, and they're like expecting all that from
right.
me.
Grandpa's going to love you.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's perfect.
They're expecting. And like, even when they get done, like this last special I did, there was no cussing at all. And one of the people that talked to me said, it was like you didn't cuss, but your act was so dark, I thought you were cussing.
I get that a lot too. Yeah, I get that a lot too.
You're funny. You're good. Yeah.
Well, when you saw me, I was cussing a lot. But
My girlfriends were just like, "Wow, I didn't expect him to be that funny." You know,
because they just know him as being quiet.
It was another roast. I was pretty hardcore. But
you fucking ripped them all.
Oh yeah,
I love it.
You're really good at it.
Yeah, I
can roast. But with my act, sometimes. A lot of times I will be clean, but the material's so weird,
right?
That people don't know.
Make me look normal.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I don't know about that.
I'd like Kat to have a reality show. I'd like to see her, you know, in her daily life.
Yeah, well, that's.
I'm creating one slowly.
Yeah. Are you really?
As soon as my clit starts working again.
Did you say clit? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Is that the name of a new car or something? Yeah. What is it?
No.
I'm sorry. What was your question?
I could never miss Kat's clit, but I would.
I've got.
You're Kat's Entertainment.
Yes.
So what you are working on a reality show about yourself?
Oh, dude, there's always something in the works.
Yeah. What else with Kat's Entertainment? You got the dance.
Honestly, it's a facade.
Yeah.
I think we're
running out of time.
Running out of time.
Because the camera just shut off. Lindsay, how are we doing on time? Yeah. Are we over? Okay, because I was looking to you because I didn't know. Okay.
To conclude very quickly, Kat's Entertainment, your one-stop shop for anything cat or entertainment.
Now, is your name Kat because you look like a cat?
Do I look like a cat?
You have cat face. Cat eyes.
Yes.
Are you Catherine?
Katarzyna.
Oh. Yeah, I'm Hannah Polish. Catherine.
It's the whole face. Your structure. Your
yeah. Really?
Yeah. You're, very
you're turning into a cat
feline.
Cat. Is that what's happening?
Yeah. Well, my cat.
You've made the cat face so much, and you're around cats
like,
so much.
It's like almost like Michelle Pfeiffer, kind of. You remind me of.
Oh, my God. I've never gotten that before.
I can so
wait,
see
wait,
that.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What? Say that. What was
you
it?
Remind me of Michelle Pfeiffer.
And you agree?
I agree.
Yeah.
What
it's the
fuck is
go with,
happening?
I'll go along with that. Sure.
What is happening in this world where I look like Michelle Pfeiffer? Anyway, I'm sorry, that's not the
well,
point.
Well, Michelle Pfeiffer just turned 60, but
that's incredible.
I'm kidding.
That was fucking good.
Yeah, I'm kidding. All
right, high five on that
kidding,
one.
I'm kidding.
I'm sorry. That was good, right?
I've done two roasts in the last 2 weeks, that's why. But, Kat, so Kat's Entertainment, because we are running out of time.
Okay, yeah.
Lindsay's got to go.
Basically, long story short, I teach dance. I educate people about their bodies, fitness, nutrition. I've got a cat. I'm an animal rights activist. Yes, I know. We're going to be all besties.
Well, everybody becomes Hannah's best friend after the show.
I believe that.
She's very likable.
She is I very like but you guys are likeable. Also likable.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
This you is are
so
too.
Not
I love beef. I don't know if that is part of...
But if you went to Doomy's Home Cooking, you'd love their
you
regular.
They're non-beef.
He would. You know, he doesn't complain about any
where,
food.
Where does the time go?
Unless it's pickles.
Yes. Where does the time go? We got to get going. Kat, tell us about Kat's Entertainment, how people get a hold of you.
www.kats-entertainment.com. Or just look me up on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere your mother is.
And let and go viral because Kat's got the cat face. Basically, to two thumbs up and
yay!
A silly smile.
One more time? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So. And Liam?
Ah, he did it!
Yes.
Did you do it?
And yes, he did!
And Liam, how do people get a hold of you and tell them about everything that's going on and your upcoming specials?
We got... let me just have them go to my Instagram and Facebook because I've got so much great stuff. Like the 28th, I start filming again.
Great.
I got a bunch of movies coming up that I'm filming.
Such as?
Halle Berry and Tommy Lee Jones. We start filming in February for that one.
That's great.
And I'm a lead in that. I rape Halle Berry in that
so
one.
So proud of my husband.
Yeah.
Right.
And then after that, I've got one with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is... it's about the Leo CIA group that went into Afghanistan. And
wow.
Yeah, I'm with Jake Gyllenhaal in the whole movie, which is awesome.
So you're doing your special in February in Ireland and then doing a movie with Halle Berry and Tommy Lee Jones?
Right.
2019 is not going to be a bad year for you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm so blessed. And it's just nice people opening doors. Really, it's just a whole bunch of nice people opening doors.
And so Instagram is how you like people to get a hold of you?
Well, you can get a hold of me, yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Liam, and then the last name is B-R-E-U-N-L-E, B-R-E-U-N-L-E, Brunley. It's spelled just like it doesn't sound.
And we barely scratched the surface with you.
Yeah.
And we love you. We definitely want to have you back.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. It was so much fun. Thank you for coming, Chrissy. I love hanging out with you. Good people. Fun show, right,
yeah,
Hannah? Hannah, how do we get a hold of you?
I'm Hail Hannah Bach 666 on Instagram. That's B-A-K-K, Bach.
Yes. And Goth Comedian on all social media. I don't want to leave, but we have to. Everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye.